Talia, Reese, and Julia do it so well. Shows, shows, show, shows, and tell.
Water, earth, fire.
I knew you were going to start
air.
Like that.
Shh, this is important. Long ago, the four nations lived together in harmony. Then, everything changed when the Fire Nation attacked. Only the Avatar, master of all four elements, could stop them. But when the world needed him most, he vanished. 100 years passed, my brother and I discovered the new Avatar, an airbender named Aang. And although his airbending skills are great, he has a lot to learn before he's ready to save anyone. Ugh. But I believe Aang can save the world.
Hot damn, that was lengthy.
What a performance.
That's the intro to the TV show. Thank you, thank you.
We know. We watched it.
I never know with you guys. I never know. Hi, I'm Reese.
I'm Talia.
I'm Juju.
And this is Shows and Tell.
Juju
today,
on that beat? Sorry, I'm not gonna interrupt.
Today we are covering one of my favorite TV shows of all time, and a TV show that I give the coveted Reese adjective of perfect to. I've described very few media texts with the word perfect, and Avatar is one of them. So I'm very excited for this. But before we dive in to one of my favorite shows ever, what's up with you guys?
Just another day in the life. It's really hot outside and nasty.
Oh, it's so hot. It's horrible.
It's not good.
Something that I've really just been doing to like pass the time is just like go on TikTok and Instagram and like troll Reese's accounts.
Oh, same.
I don't know if anyone's noticed. I don't think Reese has, but I just like to comment in all caps. I love you so much. Please say hi. I'm your biggest fan. Like multiple comments.
I'm always like, does he reply?
I will now keep an eye out for these.
Did you see what I commented on your Instagram today?
Oh god, no, let me check.
Oh, he never checks. I commented like, oh my god, are you the host of At Shows and Tell Pod?
You did indeed comment that.
I figured, like, somebody's got to do the free promo.
Yeah, and I responded, and I was like, wait, I think he is.
Should I respond back and be like, both of you are blocked immediately?
Yeah.
Get off my page.
I love this discussing of digital spaces as we – sorry, I've watched Bo Burnham's Inside a couple times at this point this past week, so I'm feeling very – introspective.
I still have yet to watch it, and I'm like really excited to actually sit down and get through it.
Reese is so fancy with their sparkling water.
That is good stuff.
How's that burn?
Spicy.
How are you, Reese?
I'm good.
Okay.
I'm a little tired. It's 10. It's 10:11 p.m. right now. I had one of the good old 12-hour days.
Sick.
I biked to work because it's nice out now, but I didn't account for the rain. So I was a little damp boy on my way back.
I don't like the word damp.
Well, you don't have to use it, but that's what I was.
I would have loved to see that.
That's how I felt about tuna salad. I said you guys didn't have to eat it, but you know.
That's different because tuna invades your space without asking.
And the tuna salad saga continues.
It is an invasive species.
I agree.
But I am excited to be doing this episode. This is, I was not kidding, one of my favorite shows. If not, it truly is perfect. I'll get into why, have the whole argument. But yes, Talia? Talia's raising her hand.
I'm raising my hand. Can you please describe for the viewers? Oh, I always do that. For the listeners at home, because I was born to be a TV star. Can you describe to the listeners at home what is on your head, please?
I am wearing my very own Appa bucket hat. It is like a plush bucket hat. It is cream colored and it has the brown arrow like Appa does. So, yep.
I've recessed an entire outfit of the day. Your shirt, you look like you're wearing a Hawaiian shirt right now.
It's, as you guys said, it's super hot out, so I dressed for the occasion. I've been dressing like Tom Selleck from Magnum PI recently.
You're so charming. It's so annoying.
I'm so what?
Charming.
Oh, well, I thank you.
Reese just has all the references.
I do. I am. That is one of my strengths, are pop culture references. Those are definitely, yeah. I think that's probably the one thing I am confident about in myself.
Oh, one thing? Jeez.
All my references are from, like, reality TV.
That's good, too, Juge. But that is, like, the one thing. It's, like, that's my greatest self-esteem, is my pop culture knowledge. Let's get into it. Have you guys seen Avatar before?
Okay, I actually have, like, a very distinct association with Avatar as being, like, the show I watch when I'm homesick from school in, like, elementary school. I feel like it was always on, like, Nickelodeon. Also, like, on the weekends, like, Saturday mornings, I feel like I used to always watch it. And I didn't realize that it was, like, so, like highly rated.
Yeah, no. It's, like, widely agreed by critics, like, that it is one of the greatest shows ever made, like, really, like, legit. No, I understand. It's, like, super legitimate, like, sources, like, newspapers, magazines that talk about film, like, always have it in their, like, 100 greatest shows of all time.
I had no idea, but I rewatching it now, I definitely, like, remember a lot of it. Like, I, like, obviously knew the theme, like, the intro.
Yeah. I could do it again. So beautifully.
Can you just record yourself doing it, and then I'll just make it like my ringtone or something?
Yeah, sure. No, if you actually were to make it your ringtone, 100%.
You know what? Maybe you should record like an alarm for me to get up in the morning.
What would I say?
Something like rude. Like, get up. Like, you know?
Hey you, get up. Oh, or I could be like the kid from the Polar Express. Hey you, do you know what kind of train this is? You know, the kid from the Polar Express. Life.
No, I feel like you'd be like, get out of bed, you lazy sack of shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, get out of bed, lazy poopster.
Amazing. I love that.
Wait, can we just talk about how yesterday Reese told us he would sell us, what did you say you would sell us for?
Oh, a bottle of water.
But a fancy bottle of water.
Yes.
Yeah, his sparkling water. That's the only thing I'll accept.
He sent us a TikTok that was, oh, me to my guy friend. Like, I love you so much. And the guy friend, like, I'd sell you for one sip of water. And then Reese actually was the one who sent it and was like, this is us, guys. And I was like, that's very much us, because all I ever do is throw the affection at him. And then he was like, but I would sell you guys for not even Dasani, but like a nice Fiji.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's really kind.
So it's like, if someone was like, hey, I have this Dasani, would you sell your two friends? I'd be like, no, like, come on, they matter. And then if someone was like, I have this glass Aquapana, I'd be like, oh my God, like, say less.
I Wait, love Aquapana.
Are you selling both me and Julia for one bottle of water? We're not even worth one each?
Or do we each get a...
It depends on how smooth the salesman or saleswoman is. But
right.
Also, like, how many ounces?
Yeah, potentially it would be like one small bottle of water. So,
like, is it like the 16 ounce?
I'd like to hope it would be, but like when the
not
opportunity,
the minis, they're so wasteful.
Yeah, when the opportunity presents itself, we'll see. But yes,
okay. I feel like you have miles of pages of notes.
Oh no! These are just reference for me. Yeah. So Talia, had you seen Avatar before?
I have definitely seen it. I recognized the whole first episode. We watched the pilot, and I definitely recognized it. I recognized the characters and the plot points and everything. But like, actually, I wouldn't say plot points. Like, I can't like reference other episodes that have happened. But like, I definitely would watch it. I wouldn't, like, it wouldn't be what I would put on, but like, just as you would naturally put on Nickelodeon as a child, and you'd watch whatever is on there. That's what I would watch.
Okay.
But definitely like a solid me as a child rating it would give it like a, of how much I liked it rating, like a 6 or a 7. I wasn't like super into it.
Okay.
Yeah, definitely wasn't my go-to.
Yeah, not my go-to. Watching it, I was very much thinking, like, why is it rated so highly? And, like, why is just Reese rated so highly? Why does everyone else? And, like, I thought it was really written in a smart way. And it didn't feel like a kid's show. And I'm going to guess that the reason why it's so highly rated by critics is because of that.
Well, we could get into it.
Okay. I just wanted to make that hypothesis.
No, I gotcha. I think everyone likes it for different reasons, and I intend to share some of mine because it's a show I often talk about. So just a little basic info on Avatar The Last Airbender, also called ATLA, Avatar The Last Airbender. It aired on Nickelodeon from February 2005 to July 2008. It was only 3 seasons long, 61 episodes total. They're all like 22-minute episodes, like really short. And this is the basic synopsis from online, and it honestly does a really good job of summing up the entire story. So it's a series centered around the journey of 12-year-old Aang, who is the current avatar and the last survivor of his nation, the Air Nomads, along with his friends Katara, Sokka, and later Toph, as they strive to end the Fire Nation's war against the other nations of the world. It also follows the story of Zuko, we stand Zuko, the exiled prince of the Fire Nation, seeking to restore his lost honor by capturing
Aang.
You
stand him?
Yes. Accompanied by his wise Uncle Iroh. We also stand Uncle Iroh.
No, we definitely stand the uncle.
Oh, I love the uncle.
And later that of his ambitious sister, Azula. Yeah, that's basically the show. You have all the main characters listed. Aang, Sokka, Katara, Toph, Zuko, Uncle Iroh. And I guess you could count Azula. But yeah, that's the main core. Where to start? I guess let's go to the history. The story of how it like came about is kind of funny. Two guys, Michael Dante DiMartino and Brian, I always butcher his last name, Konietzko.
Konietzko.
Is it Konietzko?
I think no, it's Konietzko. I made that up.
Pulling shit out of her ass.
Yeah. But basically, it kind of just came from them spitballing ideas. Like one of them was watching a documentary on the South Pole and started thinking about stuff like that. And then Brian, he imagined like an old man, but as a child. So they had like all of these weird ideas and they kind of just tried to like put them together.
Sounds like they just took a bunch of edibles.
I honestly, like maybe, like, no. It really does sound like they were like, yeah, there's a flying bison and stuff in the sky. Like that's literally how they describe it. They were like, this is a quote he said for an early concept. There's an air guy along with these water people trapped in the snow, and maybe there's some fire people. So, you know, it just seemed like a really creative idea, and then they hammered it out, pitched it to Nickelodeon.
Definitely not on drugs.
Yeah, no, but like they were super smart guys, like super dedicated to their craft. They pitched it to Nickelodeon, and Nickelodeon obviously saw something in them. And yeah, it was green lit. And they were able to make it, and that's when it debuted in 2005. And it was a hit from the start amongst kids, and it, like, its popularity has only grown. A little bit more backstory, Brian, one of the creators, compares it to Harry Potter and Lord of the Rings, but he said that he wanted to take a different approach to the genre. They really loved anime, and, like, kung fu movies, and, like, all these Eastern philosophies. That aren't always touched upon in America. So, like, a lot of times, like, anime is like, do you guys watch anime at all?
No, nothing.
Like,
I watched Sailor Moon as a child.
Okay, but, like, yeah, anime is not, like, the biggest thing in America. And, like, it does have a pretty big following. But that being said, a lot of, like, the anime in America is not American. So I think it was really cool that these two guys decided to make, you know, an American show, but, you know, make it in English and respect cultures that normally make anime, which is like what they did with Avatar, which is, you know, as you can see, it doesn't really look like traditional, like, American cartoons. Like, this doesn't look like the Fairly Odd Parents, even though they're both 2D.
True.
I got that. I did understand that it was like an anime.
Yeah, exactly.
Show with
yeah, but it's not considered like an anime show. It's just like inspired by.
Well, like, it's like, I mean, it has parts of like, it's tough, like how to define if it is exactly anime, because it can be. It's mm-hmm. like an anime influence show. So I don't know if I'd necessarily call it an anime, and I don't think anime fans would. But there's definitely overlap.
Yeah, I see that.
I have this like huge paragraph here of like for influence, as you guys see, but I just wanted to kind of go over like a little bit of it, touching upon like the research they put in. Do you know what? Let me start with the different nations. Do you guys know the four nations?
Water, fire, earth,
water, wind.
Okay.
Not wind, air.
Not wind. There
air,
you go.
Air.
Okay.
Fire.
Gotcha. Okay. So one thing that I love so much about Avatar is the world building.
You love that.
I really do, because like it's one thing to like make up a universe and then like make it up, like go, you know, create whatever you want along the way. But the way Avatar is structured, it's like each community and each different like element has its own properties and its own histories, and there's so much lore to it, which is like what the creator Brian said it takes from Lord of the Rings and Harry Potter, which is like the perfect example of the hero's journey.
Yeah, it's like all the different Harry Potter houses. It's like Gryffindor, Slytherin.
You know, like it really is. Like you get that, or it's like in Lord of the Rings, say you have the elves, the dwarves, who all adhere to their own rules. But then even within these groups, there's subgroups where it's like you have in Lord of the Rings, like the woodland elves and like, you know, the water elves and everything like that. And it's the same thing.
Can I tell you that? Like, I'm so impressed because since we learned about how Game of Thrones is its own show, but it was also based off of all of these books that were developed over decades of time. And so then that makes a lot of sense as to why that's so popular.
Yeah, like an author has all this time to like make these books. But yeah, no, these guys are just doing it like for a TV show. Like straight.
They're just doing it and they just did it. And
off the dome.
I think that's super impressive based off of the knowledge that we have for Game of Thrones.
Yeah, no, it's so cool. And I don't want to say it's like a children's Game of Thrones, but in many ways it feels like a kid's version of Game of Thrones, where it's like you do have these like this super rich text and lore. And all these different subplots and sub-stories and all these different areas with their own histories, and they're all super fleshed out and super well done. But like going into like the development of the show and also the show itself is that like the four elements and like the four different like lands, where it's like Earth, like the Earth Kingdom, the Fire Nation, like the water tribes at the North Pole and the South Pole, and then the Air Nomads, like they all have their own histories and they all have different like each location has different cultures and stuff. So it's not just specific to the entire kingdom, but like, thanks, Julia. That yawn was very much appreciated.
That yawn was like, we weren't even in the room.
No, there is literally.
I'm really tired.
Her eyes rolled back in the back of her head.
Guys, my room is really hot right now. And like, it just makes me so sleepy.
I have trouble feeling sorry for you.
Continue.
I'm not complaining.
Okay. But so like in regards to world building, like the four elements, water, earth, fire, air, some people in this universe are benders, so they can manipulate them. So like fire benders can, you know, shoot fire out of their hands and control fire. Like water benders, the same with water, and earth with the ground and stone, and air controls air. It's a really cool concept, but what I love so much about the benders is the way that the creators took from like real like Asiatic yoga practices and fighting practices to bring bending to life, to like pay respect to East Asian culture, which I really just think is so cool. And we'll get into later with the Avatar movie how that is lost. But yeah, like you know, they don't really choose one specific country or anything to focus on, but like they use like fighting like styles from China, Japan, Korea, other countries and stuff to emulate like each bender's style, and like the movements are all, and like the way that it's animated like perfectly mirrors the fighting practices and techniques. Like they really did their research, and I appreciate that, especially for a kid's show. Where it's like they don't have
Love
to take
research.
The time. Yeah, no. But they really do. They did put in the work to be respectful to other cultures, which is, you know, Appa bucket hat off to them. So now that, you know, we got into the influences and, you know, how important Asian culture is to it, what I wanted to spend some time on is the fact that it's animated. Now, when you found out that we were going to be doing Avatar this week, was the fact that it was a cartoon, what did that kind of like do to you guys? Were you excited, like, oh, this is gonna be, you know, a breeze because it's a cartoon? Or
yeah, breeze, I don't know,
like what were your expectations?
It made me nervous.
Okay, there we go.
Yeah, I already knew the show, so I already knew that I was not that I wouldn't say that I like it so much, but like that I didn't dislike it and that it would be pleasant enough and nostalgic enough to watch. But like animation in general for an older crowd, I've never like I love Big Mouth, but like every other show, I just really can't get into if it's anime. I just gotcha. it takes it down a notch for me.
Okay.
I wish it didn't, but it
does. No, I get that. But like I feel like, and something like I really like that you brought up Big Mouth, is that Big Mouth is obviously for an older audience. Like it's not meant for like 11-year-olds and 12-year-olds. But what's so cool is that I don't think Big Mouth could work under any other circumstances besides the fact that it's a cartoon.
Well, no, because they do such violently inappropriate themes.
That's what I'm saying. You have like these action. Like you have like these monsters, like the sex monsters, whatever they're called, the hormone monsters, and then you have like adults voicing kids and everything like that, and it just, and also the comedy of Big Mouth wouldn't work if it was live action. It'd be unsettling, not funny.
Yeah. Oh my god, it wouldn't fly at all.
No, it wouldn't fly. And that's what I think is so important about Avatar the Last Airbender, is that for different reasons it can't exist as anything but an animation.
That's such a good point.
Didn't they do a live action?
Yes, they did movie? Do a live action movie, which we will get to. Sadly, we will have to address. Yeah, no. Two smart points for you.
Wait, also, can I just say, like, that's so true about, like, shows, like, can get away with so much more of their cartoon, like South Park.
South Park, Family Guy, like, all those cutaways and stuff like that. It just doesn't translate live action. And what I like wanted to address with Avatar is like the fact that it exists as an animation, I think often turns people off because of the fact that it being an animation makes you view it as a kid show, but it's beyond just a kid show. The reason animation works is because of like how fantastical the world is. And it's crazy that like, I mean, even with like Game of Thrones and stuff like that, Game of Thrones feels as though it takes place in like the Middle Ages, but there just happens to be dragons. Whereas like Avatar exists completely in a different realm. Like it would not be able to be live action.
Yeah. What time period do you feel like Avatar exists in?
I mean, like, or you like can't you really don't. Say because it's question. Like, I mean, if you saw like they have like tanks, but then they also don't have cars, and it's just like there's it's just like a weird gray area, and you have these.
Can I say that I have a big problem with shows that have a time period gray area? Like it keeps me from connecting to them if I can't picture exactly where they are or when they are.
Okay.
I don't like the ambiguity.
For me it makes it makes it timeless, and it also makes it otherworldly. If like Avatar were to have things that all adhere to one time period, then it makes it too much like Earth and it makes it too relatable.
But I think it could even be like 5,000 years ago or whatever. Like
I guess, know. But for I like the fact that it is a complete separate entity than what we know.
I think this is just such a prime example of our different taste.
No. That's so true. But that's, I think, what's so nice about it. But to give a little deep dive into animation, and Avatar is a 2D animation, which I say is a forgotten art. Like today, you see any animated movie, they're all going to be like the computer generated. Like, I mean, look at the last few Best Picture winners. You have Soul, you have, you know, like Moana's and your Coco's. Like Pixar, basically, The Incredibles, Incredibles 2, like all these are all like the computer generated and they look amazing. Like Frozen, like you see their like individual hairs, but I do think there's something intangible that's missed with the hand drawn. To give a little background, hand drawn was popular since the invention of the movie and like Walt Disney, like of like the 40s and 50s. And it was basically the only way movies were made up until Toy Story. Toy Story kind of changed everything, where animation no longer had certain constraints. So after the popularity of Toy Story in the late 90s, slowly studios began to see a shift in audiences to a desire to see those kind of movies more. And maybe audiences wanted it, or maybe it was just Toy Story was really good. But regardless, like 2D movies like The Emperor's New Groove, Atlantis, Lilo and Stitch, Treasure Planet, Brother Bear, Home on the Range, these were all made by Disney, and these were all 2D animation, and these movies lost Disney, like, hundreds of millions of dollars. Yeah. So, like, they were losing money making them.
Emperor's New Groove and Lilo and Stitch.
Lilo and Stitch?
Lost.
So, okay. Money. Well, in comparison to their previous movies, like to make an animated movie is expensive. So while they did well, they were still viewed as flops, like comparatively. To
That's
like,
so surprising.
Because like think about like the Musker and Clemens movies of the 80s and 90s. You have like The Little Mermaid, you have Aladdin, you have all these movies that are box office breaking hits, Lion King, all of these. And then you have like Brother Bear, which cute movie, but forgotten in time. So after that, there was a steep decline and Disney stopped making it. And when they acquired Pixar, CGI became like the dominant form of animation. However, Avatar around the same time stuck to 2D, and I think it benefits from it so much. Like, I don't know about you guys, but like visually speaking, like the episodes that we watched, I think are absolutely stunning.
They're cool. They're
They are really nice. I like how they like show a lot of like nature. Like, I feel like they're always on like a boat.
I mean, it's beautiful and you can't get that with anything. You know what I mean? No. I think that's a good point.
Julia's commentary. It's so funny to me for some reason.
Because I point out like the most simplest things. Reese is talking about
it's
like...
because it's simple. Reese is like, it was visually stunning. Julia's like, they were on a boat.
I liked the boat. Like, thanks, Julia.
Guys, my parents always talk about how Reese is so smart on the podcast. And I'm like, oh my God. Like, gas him up like even more than like he already is. Like, I'm like, you don't think I'm smart?
Mr. and Mrs. Fox, I thank you. Let's get back to it.
Lola.
All right. yeah. So getting back to, like, animation and Avatar, I don't think it could exist as another text. And I will get into how it does exist as other texts. But the way that it's drawn, it allows for the characters, which can be silly, to be super silly, where it's like sometimes they defy how people move, and it's like comedically like Sokka's head will grow 10 sizes, and it works for the kid part of the show, but it also works for the storytelling, where you're able to have these really cool, you know, cutaways and flashbacks and transitions. And you're also able to have bending, like elemental bending, which I think is so cool that they're able to like actually show it. And it oftentimes I get not choked up, but like stuck on words because I get so excited about this. But I think oftentimes people forget that animated movies are directed. People often think of directors as like telling the live action actors, like, you need to be more sad in this scene. And that's not really how it is. Directors choose how something is presented from start to finish. So they're directing the cartoon, saying like, we should have, like, obviously there's no camera, but we should have, like, this sweeping shot of the landscape, and we should have the clouds viewed here, and I want Aang to rise. So even though it's an animated show, like, the direction is so well done, and, like, the way that it's a cartoon kind of helps it flourish, if that makes sense.
That does make sense.
Okay, so that's something important. I'm going to get to, narratively speaking, why it is so good. But I think I guess now would be a good time to touch upon its other works. So Avatar ran for 3 seasons, like each season.
Oh, 3?
Yeah, no, that's it.
Supposed to run for more, or
no.
Short and sweet?
Short and sweet. And because you say that, I think I'll switch to talking about the narrative. Avatar had a very clear, from the first episode, every single character's like story arc is started, and it is so clear where each character needs to go. From episode 1, as you guys watched, like, you know that Aang has to defeat the Fire Lord. Like, that is his ultimate goal.
I like how they explain the plot, like, in the opening.
You go into the show knowing exactly what's going on, exactly what needs to happen, and over the course of 3 seasons, the creators so smartly and in such a well-paced manner bring you along each character's journey until Aang eventually does face the Fire Lord. Spoilers ahead, obviously, but I just wrote down some of the character arcs. So Aang, who is the last airbender, the reason he's frozen in ice is because he was trying to run away when he found out he was the Avatar. So his whole arc, his whole arc is about the fact that he's just this little kid who has immense power and has to like deal with his destiny.
It makes me kind of sad.
Yeah.
But no, it's super sad. And what's so cool is that the show doesn't shy away from the fact that like this is super intense. Like Aang lost all of his family and his friends. Family. In like a genocide. Like they killed them all. Which
Wait,
is,
I have
like,
a question.
Yeah.
Do you think that this like goes over kids' heads? Like it definitely does.
I think, and what's smart about the show is they never show anyone dying. Yeah. So like, yes, I think a lot of it does, but like that's why I think it could be so appreciated on so many different levels, in so many different lenses. Because like, yes, you could watch it on its face where it's like Aang is learning confidence, but then you see it as this kid is traumatized and he is genuinely scared to like become the person that everyone is telling him he must be. And it's only through 3 full seasons of the show that he learns to be the like the man that he must become on his own terms without anyone telling him what to do, which is like, it's brilliant watching it. And the pacing is wonderful where it's not like this happens overnight. It happens over the course of 61 episodes. And in episode 1, it's introduced, which it doesn't get, you don't get better storytelling than that.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Yes, to nerd out. But like even Katara, where it's like in the beginning, she's like unsure of her waterbending skills and she hates the Fire Nation because they killed her mom. And by the end, she's like this waterbending master and she learns to forgive her enemies, Zuko especially. Sokka. Damn. Yeah, no, Sokka starts out pretty much a misogynist. Like he thinks that, you know, since he's a guy, he should be in charge. And in the early, like in the first season, especially, and like in the early episodes, he often discounts the women characters. And
in the first scene, she was calling him out for
that's what I'm saying. No, exactly.
That was sick. That was like, well, I was like, this is mature.
Yeah, no, exactly. And in the first, like, in the first, I think a few episodes later, there's like the Kyoshi warriors who are all girls. And he's like, oh, like, I could beat you. And then, you know, they beat him up and then they train him.
Take his little tush.
Yeah, no, exactly. And by the end of the show, he's like fully, not only just aware that women are like very often in the show stronger than him, but he like loves and admires it and is like, although he steps up as in a leadership role, he completely respects like their power and, you know, doesn't try to step on their toes.
We love that.
Yeah, no, exactly. And like, which
feminist
is
feminist
like,
king.
No,
feminist king. I really is. Gonna say it.
Yeah. Uncle Iroh, like
sassy king.
So he is one of my favorite characters.
And what was he like? I just have to finish my duck. What was it?
he is my genuinely my favorite character. And like, although he's the comedic relief, the longer the show goes on, the more we learn. Like why he is the way he is. We learn that he lost his son in the war based on his own commanding choices.
Oh
yeah, no,
this like, very, this is what I'm talking about when I say it's like so deep for like a children's show. Like I don't think they understand any of this.
There's an episode which I was considering making us watch where it's him going through the city singing a song, and it ends, we realize it was like a song that connected him to his son. And it ends with him basically looking at a portrait of his dead son on top of a tree.
Oh my God.
As he cries.
Wait, so Reese, how old were you when you were watching this and were you aware of all of this stuff?
So I was only like 8 or 9, I guess, when this was coming out. Because the season finale, I was 10.
Right.
But like, yes and no. Like, I remember enjoying it a great deal. And like when I rewatched it for the first time during quarantine in April,
that was my question. Like when you figured it out,
I was like, Jesus Christ, like this is like truly like fantastic storytelling. And this is like really great television. But yeah, like all of these bigger things, I don't really remember as much. Like I don't remember all these things about PTSD, about war, about sexism, about, you know, genocide. Like about totalitarianism.
It's just interesting that they put so much like thought, like thoughtfulness into this show that's like the target audience is like 11-year-olds. You know?
Exactly. And it's like it deals with even colonialism where it's like bigger countries taking over smaller countries and having to adjust and like poverty and all the like these really intense emotions where it's like Katara is trying to overcome the fact that her mother was killed by the Fire Nation and try to like learn that maybe she has to work with certain people from the Fire Nation for the greater good and understand differing viewpoints. It really is. I'm sorry that like I'm taking up so much of the time speaking and like not, but like I really do love sharing like how well done this show is, because I think a lot of people often write it off as just a cartoon and just like fun.
Premise of the pod, babe. You're good. That is the premise.
I love when Reese gets excited about things.
Thanks. But I think my favorite story arc, and I think like I would really say in all of television, one of the best story arcs up there with like, you know, Walter White and Breaking Bad or Jaime Lannister seasons 1-7 of Game of Thrones, is Zuko, Prince Zuko. Zuko starts out, as you see in episode one, just like this angry kid who wants nothing more than to regain his honor and capture the Avatar. And he goes through this like amazing transformation. And we see this like inner battle with himself of wanting to please his father and, you know, please everyone around him. And this like the eternal conflict is like, it's incredible. There's this like really great relationship between Aang and Zuko because it's this cat and mouse game, but they often are stuck together. There's an episode where Zuko breaks Aang out of jail after Aang is captured. And Zuko does it because he needs to capture Aang himself. And then Aang rescues Zuko sometimes.
Oh my god, that's so like Javert and
No, exactly. And it's like this weird like thing where it's like they're almost tied to one another by destiny, but they can't be friends because obviously Aang has his own thing. He must defeat the Fire Nation. But Zuko, like, although Zuko sees the good in Aang and sees how special he is, his honor and his family is more important to him, at least in the early
season. Sorry, this is so Valjean and
Javert, whatever
it is. And Javert, this is so lame. Is like,
no, it really is.
It's the same premise.
Exactly. And, you know, it's really interesting in the later seasons, especially where, you know, Zuko, like, has to, like, choose whether or not he's going to be good or evil and what that means for his future. I don't want to, like, spoil, like, just in case anyone hasn't watched, I won't give away everything. Like, I don't want to say how it ends. His arc is phenomenal. And,
but I want to know how it ends.
All right. Skip a minute ahead if you don't want to hear anything about Zuko.
I feel like people are not listening to these episodes if they don't.
Okay, yeah, that's true.
They know they're spoilers.
Yeah, so Zuko eventually like confronts his father and says, you know, I've spent years trying to, you know, get back into your graces. And after he finally does, Zuko says it's the biggest mistake of his life. He betrays Uncle Iroh. He betrays everything he holds dear and basically tells his dad, like, to fuck off.
Fuck off.
Yeah, and then he joins Aang and the gang, and although they're apprehensive of him at first because he's spent 50 something episodes, you know, trying to chase them, they eventually welcome him and he helps them win.
That's really sweet.
Yeah, but also what's
so deep.
No, it's so deep. And like what's so cool too is that Zuko doesn't turn truly, like, although we know that Zuko will eventually be good, it's always hinted, he doesn't become, like, he doesn't join Aang until I think 50 something episodes in out of 61.
Oh my god, also like Draco vibes.
Super. Yeah, well, Draco kind of sucks. Draco doesn't really have anything redeemable about him. Like, I feel bad for him cuz his like his parents suck, but like he never does anything good.
No, that's fair. That is fair.
Zuko does have good in him and we see it. It's just he's this torn soul. Yeah, so like the world building, the character arcs, and how they're all established from episode one, just for me, make it phenomenal. Like, just absolutely insane how good it is. And like I said earlier, like when we were talking about war, genocide, and everything like that, the show is also super inclusive. Like, that deals with marginalization, where it has, you have like a main character, Toph, who's blind, but whose, I guess, her blindness is what makes her so strong. And, like, then you have another character, Tio, who's in a wheelchair. And although, like, he may not be able to walk, you know, he's super smart. And it's just the show took so much care with so many, like, really important issues and topics. and presents them in a way.
They did it more respectfully than Glee, let me tell you.
And literally every other show we've talked about.
But that's what I'm saying. It really is like a perfect example of like how to show kids what is right from wrong objectively, but also to show adults too, because more often than not, we see that adults don't really get it either. Like,
yeah.
Okay.
True. Also, the show is literally almost, or not almost, but it's over, it's almost like 15 years old. Sorry, I can't do math, guys. I've realized I like really like don't know how to make numbers work.
But I mean, it's a classic story. You know, it mirrors the hero's journey. In so many ways, it's just perfect storytelling, visually perfect. The writing is great. The music is great. You know, it's animated, but even like the costume, like everything is perfect. I wanted to stop quickly and do something fun before we do like character comparison, that kind of stuff. I wanted to know what nation you think you'd be. If you'd be like earth, water, fire, or air.
I think I'd be water because first of all, I'm a water sign. I'm a Pisces. So I feel like there has to be some relation. Also, I just like really relate to water. Like I'm a fish. I just know I am in another life.
Interesting.
Wait, why are you a fish? Why is that what you think you are?
Because I like swimming. I feel at home in the water and I'm a Pisces and a Pisces is a fish. I feel like this podcast is just making me sound so dumb. I promise I like have a brain. But
no, she's actually smart, but she's a fish, apparently.
No, I feel like I just like the fluidity of water. I feel like I'm very easygoing. I go with the flow like water does. And I don't know. I just like water.
I think you'd be a Fire Nation.
What? I'm not that fiery.
I think you'd be Fire Nation. Not all Fire Nation is like, not all Fire Nation is, it's not like Harry Potter where everything is so.
You don't think I would be?
No. I could get into what I think you guys would be. Like, okay. In Harry Potter, a big problem I have is that like there's good and bad and they're good for good sake and bad for bad sake. Whereas like in Avatar, like every character has their own motivation, even the Fire Nation, even the bad guys, like they have their reasons, and like if you may not agree with them, they're still kind of valid. But I think you'd be Fire Nation just because, like, I don't know, there's like you have like a fierceness, I don't want to have it confused with like mean, but like there's like you have that like energy.
You're talking about me?
Yeah.
I don't think of myself as like fiery.
I think I do. I think you have it. Yeah, I don't think it's like this explosive rage, but like it's there.
Yeah.
That's a compliment. I'll take it.
Yeah, and then Talia, I think you'd be Earth.
Why?
I don't know.
Talia's fire.
Well,
because I'm one with nature.
No, I mean, like, I don't know. It's just like the vibe from like the show. Earthbenders are like, they're strong. Like, that's pretty much, like, that's like their thing. Like, they're strong. They know what they want. Like, it's like that kind of vibe.
Cool.
Interesting. Yeah, I see that.
Strong-willed.
Yeah, strong-willed. And like, Julia, that means you'd be red. Talia, green.
I don't like red. Blue is my favorite color.
I'm sorry.
I don't think you're water, Juju. Sorry.
What? Yeah. Guys, yeah, no, I strongly identify with water.
That's too bad.
Can we hear a little fish noise?
And then I think I'd be air.
Yeah, I see that for you.
I just... Yeah. But I had
a lot of fish as a kid.
I think so too, Reese.
Yeah, it's just their vibe is, I don't know. I just relate to them.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. But yeah, to I guess kind of, because I've talked so much about it already, wrap it up. So Avatar, super popular when it came out. It won an Emmy for animation style. It's included in so many different like scholarly lists as one of the best shows ever and widely regarded as the best kid show of all time, which I agree with. Wholeheartedly.
I want to see what it has on Rotten Tomatoes.
I think it has like 100%.
Yeah, we said that in the last episode.
Oh, did we? Sorry.
Yeah, but like it's inspired a bunch of like other things. Like there's like novelizations, there's graphic novels, there's comic books about the show and everything like that. And then there was a sequel show called The Legend of Korra. It was the same creators and it was also on...
Yeah, I've heard of that.
Yeah, no, it was also on Nickelodeon. And, like, there's a lot of direct tie-ins to Avatar. Like, a lot of the characters are the same, only older. and it lasted 4 seasons. A lot of people love it. I truly don't like it that much, simply because it lacked the direction that Avatar had, where it's like in each season of Korra, there's like a different big bad. I don't know. The payoffs don't feel as earned, and it didn't seem like there was like an end goal from the beginning like Avatar has.
Makes sense.
That being said, if you like Avatar, it is fun to watch because like of all the references, and it's like the same world, but it's not the same feel. Avatar is like a feel good. Like every episode, I end smiling for the most part.
Oh,
but yeah. And then
sweet.
There was also Avatar, or an Avatar adapted film, live action film called The Last Airbender, from the director M. Night Shyamalan, who's done The Sixth Sense. He did the movie Split.
I think I watched the movie.
It is widely regarded as one of the worst films ever made.
Oh.
Everything about it. The screenplay, acting, direction, they whitewashed the whole cast. There's plot holes. It's not faithful to the source material. The visual effects are laughable. And this is 2010 when visual effects had...
Keep like, roasting. Already. I like it. It's entertaining. Go harder.
Yeah.
Say more bad things about it.
Editing. Terrible. Characters bad. Like even in like the 3D conversion.
Tell us how you really feel.
No, it's truly a terrible movie, and it is it genuinely pisses me off how bad it is.
I remember there being so many commercials for it.
Yeah,
for that movie.
Everyone loved the show and everyone was super excited, and then it sucked.
Like I just remember that it would always be like the number one movie in America right now, The Last Airbender.
And you know, and it made money, like it almost tripled its budget, but it sucked. And now Netflix released Avatar in May 2020, which brought about like this huge second resurgence of fandom. Cause I mean, it came out during quarantine. Like everyone watched it. Everyone was talking about it. It's like had this huge, like on TikTok, it's been massive again. Everyone loves it once more. And Netflix is making a live action show of Avatar. And while people were nervous, the show, like original creators, signed on to do it, but they left because apparently they weren't getting any creative control. So now me and fans alike are nervous that Netflix is just going to butcher it.
That's a fair thing to be nervous about, I think.
Yeah, I mean, like, there's just so many things that I don't think translate. Like I said, like, the animation works for it. And, like, I feel like they're going to make it, like, into, like, this teenage, like, romance thing. And, like,
this is one of my questions, actually. There was no romance.
No, there is. Like, Aang is in love with Katara.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
And, sweet. Like, you know, spoiler alert, like, the show ends with them kissing. But, like...
They kiss?
Wait, they're only 11 years old or 12 years old or whatever.
On the lips?
Yeah. But, like, that's what I mean. Whoa. Where it's, like, there's an innocence to the show. And it's, like, yes, like, it's nice that, like, it ends with a kiss. And, like, that Aang has a crush and that we know it. And that he always wants to confess his feelings. And his feelings become a plot point where it's... To be the Avatar, you have to let go of all worldly possessions. And he can't let her go. So he refuses to, like, continue training.
Sweet.
Yeah, no, it's really, you know, it's really good stuff. But yeah, but like even like Appa and Momo, shout out to Appa and Momo, like the best fictional animal character sidekicks ever. Like, how are you gonna have that live action? Like, it just doesn't.
Yeah, it's gonna be funky.
It's either not. It's gonna be too expensive. It won't be cute. It'll be too real, and which like makes it like
weird.
It makes it weird. Yeah, there has to be. It has to be kind of fake. Like it. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's tough. And like,
okay, so you'll see what happens.
Yeah. And like Appa, like you could have personality in a cartoon that's like Scooby-Doo or like any other like animated thing.
I love Scooby-Doo.
Yeah. Like you could have dogs smiling, but like when it's a live action dog, it's horrifying if it smiles.
Wait, but I love the Scooby-Doo like live action movies.
Yes, but it works because Scooby like is clearly a fake dog and not
you know,
like a
yeah,
which is what
it's
I'm
kind of creepy
is gonna happen with Avatar. No, I like it because it leans into the fact that it's a cartoon.
Okay,
but
yeah,
we'll see. But yeah, that's my spiel on Avatar.
Shall we compare some characters? I'm very curious. Reese, you did a wonderful job. Wonderful.
Yeah. You know, if you haven't watched the show, please do. And if you've seen it or you know watched it as a kid, I really recommend revisiting it because, like, as Tolly and Julia said, it's good. Like, it's definitely worth it. Yeah, so for character comparison, you guys go first.
Ugh, I want you to go first. I feel like I'm Katara.
I think I'm the uncle. Or Reese is the uncle. Oh,
I was going to say Juju is top.
Is Juju's what? Wait, tough. We're a little all over the place.
Yeah, yeah, wait. Okay, I think Juju is tough.
Why?
We didn't meet Toph this episode, right?
No, no, yes you did. She's the blind earthbending girl.
Oh, sorry.
I don't really remember her.
I love, she's great. She cracks me up. She's the blind one. Like when she's riding Appa, she's like, oh my God, look, there it is. And everyone like looks and then she's like, guys, I'm blind.
Okay.
You know, yeah, she's like,
she's a troll.
No, she's just like super, she's just super funny. Like strong willed in a good way. And like, I don't know. Same energy.
I like that.
And there's not a Fire Nation girl that you really like resemble.
Is there a Water Nation girl?
Oh my God, Julia. She can't leave it.
I mean, I was going to say Talia's kind of like Katara because it's like.
That's what I thought too.
Yeah.
Katara is also a little bit sassy.
Well, yeah, no, she can be sassy at times.
And I feel like she's just like so fuck the patriarchy.
Yeah, no, exactly. And like she has like this like caring quality. Yeah, and then I was going to say, it's tough.
I think you are the two main dudes mix. So Aang and...
Sokka.
Fire.
Oh, Zuko.
Yeah, mix.
Well, wow. Reese loves Zuko, so he's
Is that
like,
insane?
Happy about that?
I think I'm similar to Aang because, like, yeah, like he's like happy-go-lucky, but there's also those episodes where he's like super...
You're happy-go-lucky, King?
Well, no, but like you get what I'm saying, where it's like, I think I appear jovial, but then like Aang, there's the episode.
But then you're a little more complex on the inside.
Where I see that. Super dark, and it's like, yeah. So although you know, like he'll be happy for like most of the episode, then you'll see like at the end or like when you know he's alone, there's like those super intense moments are usually the ones that he has.
Yeah,
I could see with Aang.
But
okay,
what's your reasoning for Zuko?
What I was thinking was kind of basically just what you said, but you said it only with an Aang, and I was thinking that like Aang is the lightness in you, and what Zuko like
Zuko, yeah, they are. It's like it's like a yin yang where it's like they are. Two...
Yeah. Like he's the darkness, and then Aang would be the lightness. But it's basically what you were just saying. You know?
Exactly, they're the same coin, only one's heads, one's tails.
Oh, beautiful.
Thank you.
What a note to end on.
Yeah, great show. I hope you guys liked watching it.
We have a grievance.
A grievance?
Do you have a grievance?
Oh my God, yes. Yeah. Quick grievance of the week is back sweat. Like, it's getting too hot out. And
mine's
like,
everywhere sweat.
Yeah, like, I sweat. Like, you know, not too much, but when I'm wearing a backpack, it just like...
This is why you shouldn't bring a backpack everywhere you go.
Oh my God. I have to bring a backpack.
I have to bring a backpack everywhere. I need to have my stuff on me at all times.
This is your own fault.
And also,
my issue is knee sweat.
I ride my bike to work. I have to bring my... Ew.
Like back of the knee sweat?
Knee sweat? Is what,
like back of the knee sweat. Okay. Like that's what I'm having right now.
I knew just, what you meant.
Yeah, like the meniscus, whatever it is.
Yeah, the crevice.
I was imagining like the front of your knee just like.
Just ew. Like.
Yeah, just like dripping water the front of your knee.
This is a charming conversation.
Yeah, that's disgusting.
I think that your grievance could be solved if you just didn't bring a backpack.
Well,
oh my God.
Okay, I don't support
that. You know
that.
What? We get to agree to disagree, and you can maintain your wrong opinion.
Leave it.
But this was a lovely episode. Reese, on a lighter note, I really did learn a lot. Sorry, I was very tired. I think we're all a little sleepy right now.
I definitely am. Although I'm like a little bit more jazzed after.
Jazzed.
Talking.
I knew who was gonna say jazzed. I knew it. Please.
Also, I apologize to listeners if my episodes tend to be super just lechery.
No, but you bring the important information.
Yeah. I like them. This is what I intended.
We all have different strengths. I tend to do the ones with the scandals, and you do the ones that actually have informative, like, themes and, like, you know, deeper meanings and character development. And, you know, Talia does the
I feel
classics.
Like, and mine are just shoving, what did you say?
I feel like you do, like, the classics.
Yeah, I was going to say I just shove my obsessions on everyone. I mean, you know what? So does Reese.
I feel like
what's it called? Julia's episodes are tend to have like the best banter. Like those are really banter heavy, which I think is nice. I think mine are very like lectury, analysis driven, and I think Talia's is
but
like
we need that.
A good mix of the banter and the analysis.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Yeah, we need all of it.
Exactly.
That's really sweet.
We're such a good trio.
It looks like we just hit an hour. I don't want to keep everyone. Talia, are you next week's episode?
I am next week. And first of all, I'm so excited to leave because I feel like I haven't been so long. But I think I'm going to do – I think it's maybe time to do Friends because I think it's like relevant.
No. Right? The HBO thing just released, yeah.
Because of the reunion. I just feel like it's time. I obviously don't have the episode that we're going to do because that's going to take some freaking thought.
Yeah. And also, realistically, whatever episode you name, I'll have seen already.
Guys, of course, don't watch Friends.
So then,
okay, that's good, Julia.
Yeah, this is good. All right. Well, thank you guys for listening. Please
rate, review, and subscribe.
Yeah, let us know what you thought of the episode. And also just any Avatar takes or anything like that you have. I'm always love to chat about it.
Do we have a new code word that they can DM us? I loved that people DM'd us
week. Wait, should we tell them what the thing is we're going to make?
Our merch?
Yeah, our merch.
The stickers? We talked about it last episode.
Wait, did we say stickers last episode?
Yes, King.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, we're going to work on some stickers.
Yeah, I actually really want to do it. If you're listening to this point, please DM us.
Yeah. What's the code word this week?
Back sweat.
Back sweat and tears.
Wait, what's the hat's name?
Appa. Yep.
Yeah, okay. DM us. Yes. Appa's back sweat.
Oh, no. No, it should be knee sweat.
Appa's final. Appa's knee sweat.
Appa's knee sweat. Decided. Lock
Sick.
It in.
Sick. Okay.
Thanks, everyone.
Wait, can I end it with this? And then, so after I say this, Talia, please end it because I think this would be really
got
cool.
It. No, I got it. It'll be clean.
It's gonna be so sick. Okay. And when the world needed him most, he vanished.
Just like we're vanishing now.
No!
Oh my god! Sorry, wait. It's fine. We're not doing it again.
Okay, the moment.
Just try to edit it out.
Talia, end it. End it, please.
Okay, bye.